Genesis chapter number 16 tonight. Genesis chapter number 16 for the preaching and teaching of God's word. We have a wonderful opportunity to be in the house of God on a Wednesday night. Amen. Amen. And it is a joy and a privilege, and I trust that God will use what he does in this service tonight to draw us closer to him. Picking up where we left off last week, let's look, if we would, at verse number 5. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when he saw that she had conceived, I was despised. Sorry, when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. The angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction, and he will be a wild man. Sound like that's what God told my mom. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahairoi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Let the church say amen. Amen. Our Father, we ask that you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Thank you for what we have heard already. Remind us, as we've heard in song, of just how important Calvary is to us. Thank you for the cross. Because of that cross, we can still be changed more and more to the image of Jesus Christ. Now cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We concluded chapter number 15, and we entitled that chapter, What Now? And we followed Abram as he entered a stage in his life where he didn't know exactly what to do next. And we ended that chapter with God reminding him of a covenant and reminding him that when you're lost in uncertainty, when you're not sure of what happens next, remember the covenant of Almighty God. And by the way, for those of us that are saved, there'll be times along the journey where the Christian life and the Christian road will take us to stops and to take us to delays and take us to scenarios where what's next is uncertain and what is in the future is unknown and what God is doing is hard to discern. But aren't you glad that the covenant of God is not unclear? The fact that he has saved us and washed us in his blood, and we saw Abram was put to sleep, God walked that figure eight, seemingly saying to him, you will not bear up this covenant. I will bear the covenant by myself. Customarily, the two would walk the figure eight. God walked it himself, saying, Abram, you'll do nothing to maintain this covenant. You'll simply be a recipient of this covenant. God will provide it. God will perform it. God will perpetuate it. And by the way, that's my salvation. I did nothing to inherit it. I do nothing to maintain it. I do nothing to preserve it. It is all of God, and it's that which drives me on during the what now stage. Now we get to chapter number 16, and we've entitled this section, Beware of unnecessary detours. Beware of unnecessary detours. A detour is a deviation from a direct course or from the usual procedure. A detour is a roundabout way, temporarily replacing part of a route. Sometimes detours are necessary because the direct route is either shut down, inaccessible, or not able to be navigated. But there are some times in our lives where detours are not necessary, they're unnecessary, and just because the direct route is not moving as fast as we want it to, doesn't mean God wants us to take a detour. Here in Genesis 16, Abram took a detour. We saw the scheming proposition, if you would, that led to this detour. There was a circumstantial delay. She wanted a child and didn't have one. She was of age where it looked like she couldn't have one. And the delay circumstantially brought about a wrong desire. I said last week, be careful when you find yourself questioning the delays of God. You find yourself situated when you doubt God and you question the delays of God to have desires that are not of God. So all of a sudden, here's her desire. Her desire is to give her handmaid to her husband. I won't tell you that's corrupt. Amen. And many people have developed corrupt desires because they can't deal with delays. Amen. There is something to be said to waiting on the Lord. Amen. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he will strengthen thy heart. Wait thyself. Most people don't want to wait because they think they don't have the strength to wait. But David said, when you wait on the Lord, you don't have to have the strength to wait. He will strengthen your heart. Somebody in the building tonight is getting a little bit tired of delays. Be careful. This corrupt desire led to a compromising decision. Abram gave in. His wife came up with something that was no good, and he didn't have enough guts to tell her so. Now, sometimes they come up with stuff that's really good, and sometimes they don't. The question is, it's really not about men being smarter than ladies or ladies being smarter than men. It's really about God being always right. And the problem was, she suggested something that was wrong. Eve brought Adam something that was wrong. Listen to me now. Anybody that tells you to do anything that's contrary to the will and to the word of God must not be adhered to. Be careful that you don't listen to the wrong counsel. Hear me now, young people, you single adults. Think about this stage in your life. The next biggest decision will be the person that you marry. The last thing you want to do is marry the wrong person because you got counsel from the wrong source. Abram compromised, and it hurt him. This compromising decision led to a very carnal deed. He and Hagar got together, and she conceived. And the Bible says, because of this scheming proposition, it led them to what I call subsequent problems. First of all, a resentful conceit. All of a sudden, Hagar conceives. She did something that Sarai couldn't do, and she thought she was better as a result of it. And by the way, there's a lot of that going on in our world today. More was a lot of that going on in churches today. Just because God blesses you in a way he hadn't blessed somebody else doesn't make you better than the person. Especially when God's the one that did the blessing. Amen. God opens the womb. God is the one from whom all blessings flow. And yet there was a conceit. There was an arrogance with which Hagar was living. And that resentful conceit led Sarah to some realized complaints. It was amazing. It was a scheme she came up with. And now the very scheme she had devised was the scheme she disdained. See, when you go outside of God's will, what looks like a good idea, from the beginning, turns out to be a bad idea in the end. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. There are many that have been going full-fledged down the wrong path, thinking nothing of it until they find out there's a dead end. Sarah ran into a dead end. And all of a sudden, there's a raging conflict. You heard me say last week, anytime sin abounds, conflict does too. Conflicts in families, conflicts in marriage, conflicts in churches, conflicts in friendships, conflicts in relationships. We look at conflicts all over our world today. Conflict is a result of sin. That's why we have war. That's why we have gossip. That's why we have envying. That's why we have strife. That's why we have cliques. That's why we have bitterness. That's why we have families that don't talk. That's why we have divorce. That's why we got unraised children by their parents. All a result of sin. Listen to me. Sin may seem good for a season, but it always brings about conflict and the resulting consequences that Hagar flees away. That's where we let off last week. She went running because Sarai dealt harshly with her. And then I want you to see in verse number 7 where the Bible says the angel of the Lord found her. This is a phrase that we're going to see quite often, if you would, relatively speaking, in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord. But this is the first time we find it here in Genesis chapter 16. Those of us that study the Bible really believe that this angel of the Lord is a pre-incarnate representation of Jesus Christ. This is Jesus Christ showing up in the Old Testament before he ever came in the flesh. We preached this past Sunday. Now, the birth of Jesus was on this wise. We do understand when we say the birth of Christ, we're not talking about the beginning of Christ. When we talk about the birth of Christ, we're talking about when Christ became a man. When you're talking about the beginning of Christ, there's nothing to talk about because there's no such thing. He always has been and he always will be. But here we're finding a representation where the Lord Jesus Christ is represented in the angel of the Lord. Now, you hear angels mentioned in Scripture, but when you see the angel of the Lord, we mention this as being a Christophanies or a Theophanies, which is a pre-incarnate manifestation of God. In this case, manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord. Now, think about this. Here is a handmaid from Egypt, if you would, that's been thrust away by the wife of Abram, and here she is out in the middle of nowhere alone. And listen to me, not Gabriel, not Michael, not some preacher, not some prophet, not some servant. The Lord Jesus Christ took on a manifestation of an angel to come looking for a put away maid. What love. Wow. The soothing presence, the locating comfort of God, the special person Jesus showed up, the significant pursuit. She couldn't look for him. He came looking for her. The spotted place. He knew where she was. Somebody say amen. You may be going through something today, and the something you're going through may have you running all by yourself. And sometimes when we run by ourselves, our effort intentionally is to get where nobody can find us because we don't want to be bothered. Because we're so burdened and we're so weary and we're so discouraged and we're so stressed out that nobody we talk to would ever understand. And being around other people only seems to make it worse. So we go somewhere all by ourselves because we don't want to be bothered. But when we're not bothered with anybody, we've got to bear the burden all by ourselves. But I love what Genesis 16 tells us is when we're in solitude and when we're in isolation and when we're bearing burdens by ourselves, when we don't know how to find him, he knows how to find us. He came looking for her, for a handmaid. Oh yeah, he found Elijah in the cave. Sure he did. He introduced himself to Mary when she was at that tomb mourning. Amen. He came looking for Peter after he said, I go a fishing. Come on now. He made room for John Mark to be brought back after he'd gotten profitable. I'm simply saying he went and found James after he resurrected, knowing that James doubted the authenticity of his own brother Jesus. But those are all apostles and prophets and big name people in the Bible. But in Genesis 16, he didn't go looking for an apostle. He didn't go looking for a prophet. He didn't go look for somebody that called down fire from heaven. He went looking for an immoral handmaid because she still mattered to Jesus. And tonight, if an Egyptian handmaid matter, don't you know you do? He's looking for you. I said he's looking for you. And he didn't send an angel. He took on the form of one. What a God. The locating comfort of God. Notice the loving conversation of God. He asked her some questions. Isn't that like God? Can I tell you, God never asks questions to get answers. He asks questions to get us talking. Amen. Listen to the questions he asked her. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid. By the way, he knew her name. I said he knew her name. Amen. God doesn't need to get debriefed before he talks to you. He knows your name. He knows how many hairs are on your head. Did you say amen to that, Brother Logan? He knows your name. He knows everything about you. He knows what you're going through. Remember those two men on the road to Emmaus? Depressed, kicking rocks, if you will, proverbially. Discouraged because that one that they thought had been the Messiah had been crucified. Nobody could find him. And there they were moaning and groaning. And somebody found them and walked with them. And they didn't know it was Jesus, but he knew it was them. And you know what he said to them? They said, things have been going on. He said to them, what things? He knew what the things were. The things were about him. He didn't ask what things to find out about the things. He asked what things so they could talk to him about the things. Amen. Do you realize he wants to hear about the things? You got some on your heart tonight? I'm coming to church and I'm never going to get fed by the Spirit because I got too many things on my heart. Jesus said, what things? Tell me about them. Cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Call unto me, and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest that ye have not because ye ask not. Listen to me, my friend. If your heart is heavy tonight, Jesus is saying, what things? What's on your mind, young lady? What's on your wife? Grieving on your mind, grieving wife. What's on your mind, stressed out husband? What's on your mind, peer pressured teenager? What's on your mind, impatient single adult? What's on your mind, scrunching to pay your bills, church member? What's on your mind, Christian who feels like you're overwhelmed? What's on your mind, loving family member who's got a child that's gone astray? What things he's asking you tonight? Tell him about them. The loving conversation. Where you come from? Where you going? He's trying to get her thinking. Where did you leave and where are you headed? And I'd like to ask the Christian. I'm talking about a Christian who hadn't gotten back to Egypt, but certainly isn't back in Canaan. I'd like to ask you, where did you leave and where are you headed? Amen. Because if God can get you before you get too far from home and before you arrive in a foreign country, he might be able to get you back where you belong. Amen. I'm asking tonight, where did you leave and where are you headed? Amen. Where did you leave? If you left your Bible, I'll tell you, if you don't go back to your Bible, you're going to end up in some wrong books. Amen. If you leave church, if you don't get back in church, you're going to end up in some club or some mess. Amen. If you left the right kind of relationship, if you don't get back there, you're going to end up in the wrong kind. If you left prayer, you're going to end up talking to the wrong person. If you left sanctified talking, you're going to end up in carnal talking. If you left worship, you're going to get up into nonsense. If you left thanking God, you're going to get into complaining. If you left encouraging, you're going to get into gossiping. Where did you leave and where are you headed? God already knows, but he wants to hear you talk about it. And moreover, he wants you to hear yourself talk about it. Because sometimes God needs us to talk aloud so we can hear how dumb we sound. Where did you leave and where are you going? That's a loving conversation. And thank God he had it. Now I want you to notice beyond this soothing presence that God's going to make some spoken promises. Every once in a while we have these services where we have commitments like missions and building fund coming up, and where we pass out cards and we make commitments and we turn them in. And if we're not careful, we think, well, why do we need to write commitments and turn them in? I mean, if I believe it and I'm going to do it, I just say it in my heart. Well, let me tell you something. God is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords.
Hallelujah.
And he thought enough of us, not just make promises, but he wrote them down.
Amen.
We got a whole Bible full of them. And here he's going to say some promises. He's going to write them down. Angel said unto her, verse number 10, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. Now listen to me now. This is not the heir of Abraham. Come on, this is a detour. And God had no obligation to bless this selfish detour. Amen. This is mercy, folks. I said, this is mercy. And by the way, when you go on a detour outside of God's will, don't demand rights. Amen. Plead for mercy. I've seen a lot of people mess up and start telling God what they need him to do and what God ought to do, and get mad when God doesn't do what they want him to do when they didn't do what God told them to do. Come on now. This is mercy. I'm still going to bless thy seed. I'm still going to take care of you. Notice this mercy here. There's a prosperous seed. I'm going to multiply you. This is the promise he had made to Abraham. And this promise was to be accomplished through Isaac. And now, meanwhile, over on the side, on a little detour, God says, I'm going to bless your seed, a prosperous seed. Praise the Lord. You can't even be numbering it because it's so much of a multitude. Verse number 11, thou art with child, shall bear a son. Not only a prosperous seed, but a precious son. Well, you're going to have a son. A precious son. By the way, God wasn't even obligated to let the son live. Did you hear me? I said God wasn't obligated to let the son live. But he said to a woman fleeing for her life, not only am I going to prosper you, but I'm going to give you something precious. Listen, you think that's a big deal? Well, yeah, she already knew she was conceived and she was already expecting to have a son. Let me tell you something. This woman ran from home. She didn't even know she was going to make it back to Egypt. But in the middle of being where she should not be, God said, I'm going to prosper you and I'm going to give you something precious. I'm going to take care of your child. Amen. You think God was looking out for that boy? I think he was. You know what I think God was saying? Hey, listen, I'm not going to punish your child for you and Abraham's decision and Sarah's nonsense. I'm going to take care of that boy, and I'm going to bless him, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to forgive you. Amen. There was a prosperous seed. There was a precious son. There was a portrayed symbolism. Notice what he said to her. I want you to name this son. God not only said you're going to have a son, I'm going to tell you what the son's name should be. Name him Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. This boy is not just going to be a male. This boy is going to be a manifestation of the goodness of God. And every time he walks around and tells somebody his name, it's going to be a reminder of when his mama and he were out in the middle of nowhere, and when nobody was listening, God heard them. Or aren't you glad God hears? Now, somebody in the building tonight is going through a predicament where you think nobody can hear you. And out of your affliction, listen to me, God may give you some Ishmael. Let you know he heard you. Now listen, there's also a, if you would, a predicted struggle for this boy. God said I'm gonna bless him and I'm gonna bless you. And I'm gonna give you his name, but he's gonna be a wild man. He's gonna have an independent spirit about him. He's gonna be his own man. Crazy. Going from here and there and everywhere. He's going to have an independent spirit. He's going to have inevitable strife. His hand will be against every man against him. All right now, he's going to be a fighter. Everywhere, everybody he gets with. You ever met somebody like that? They just come around and just fights seem to pop up everywhere. You know somebody like that, huh? That's Ishmael. But it's going to have an insured safety. The Bible says he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Now there's a big statement there. He's going to be wild, independent. Amen. He's going to be at odds with everyone. He's going to have inevitable strife, but he's going to be insured in his safety. Although he's fighting everywhere he's going to go, the Bible said he shall dwell with his brethren. In other words, he's going to last. He's going to make it. He's going to be safe. Listen to me now. This boy isn't even born. He's just been conceived in the womb. And God, watch this now. God had a plan for him. Now, wait a minute. Hear me now. There's some of you in the building. Still wallowing in self-pity over your detours. Amen. Could I tell you that a detour outside of the will of God does not mean God doesn't still have a plan for you. Amen. It may not be what he originally intended because you took a wrong turn. But as long as you've got oxygen in your lungs, he's still got work for you to do, a place for you to serve, a mission for you to accomplish, a destiny for you to foresee and to see. My friend, this boy was the recipient of a mama and a daddy who took a detour, but God said, detours do not annihilate destiny. And you can sit around for the rest of your life and talk about where you went wrong. Or you can get up and decide you can't change where you went wrong, but you can decide from this point on to go right. Amen. There's a praising statement made here in verse 13. She called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me. Wow. She called God, thou God seest me. And then she said, have I also here looked at him that seeth me? Wow. Do you understand what's happening here? There's some awe going on in her. You hear me? I mean, she had some awe of God. She said, God saw me. And by the way, the Christians that go the furthest for God are the Christians that don't think they will. Amen. I'm not talking about self-pity. I'm talking about when you fall in front of God's presence in utter awe and humility and say, I still can't get over the fact that God saw me. I'm not talking about that he saw you with his two eyes where he knew you were alive. I'm talking about that he put his attention on you, that he came looking for you, that he was concerned about you. Do you realize this is Jesus here? Jesus had the whole world to be concerned about. But in Genesis 16, he wasn't talking about in this verse, Abram or Sarah. He was talking about Hagar, and that's the love of my Savior. He speaks to me like I'm the only person that exists. It's amazing. She learned more about God after she made a mistake than she ever did before she ever left the house. And that's not God telling you to go make mistakes. But what he is telling you is to learn from them.
Amen.
To learn from them.
Amen.
Listen to me. If you don't learn anything from taking a detour, learn this. Don't take it next time. Amen. And when you end up in a ditch that you shouldn't have been in, the next time you come to that crossroads, turn the other way. Or stay straight. But for heaven's sake, don't come out of a detour having learned nothing. I'm going to tell you something. This girl got in the face-to-face situation with God like she'd never been before, and she'd never, ever be the same. And maybe some of us that have taken some detours unnecessarily, instead of complaining about how we got here, we need to thank God that he came and found us.
Yeah.
And not only did he see us, we saw him. What a praising statement that's made. And of course, the preserved sentiment is that well was named there. And that well literally means the well of one who lives and sees men. Wow. Whew, boy, I'm glad. I love this name, Ishmael. God God sees, God hears. Amen. No matter what you're going through, he does. Let me give you one last thought beyond this, these spoken promises. And what I call is there's a submissive productivity that took place here. Go back, if you would, to this verse that I intentionally skipped over because I wanted to close here. And this is one thing that God said to her after reminding her that he came looking for her, that he was concerned about her, and letting her tell him why she was there. The Bible said, verse 9, the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hand. Now, before you go shouting about all them promises, please understand, they ain't going to happen if there's no submission. Now, here's a woman that left Sarai and Abram's house because of the conflict. And let's be honest, Sarai came up with it. Abraham went along with it. Now, we know that sin is sin. But if God were to put tears on who was at fault in this scenario, Hagar should be least at fault, right? She's the handmaid. She's taking instruction of her mistress, and her master is in on it too. And yet God said to the one who had done the least wrong, go submit yourself. Go back to the woman who did you wrong. By the way, Hagar did wrong by getting cocky. Go back to the woman that did you wrong and submit yourself. Because although she is wrong, she's still your authority. Now, this is what I call absolute faith. Hagar had to have faith in God that when she got back to where he sent her, everything was going to be okay. Come on. Now, sometimes God comes to us and says, I've been looking for you. And we go, oh, that just means so much to me. And I heard you. Oh, God, you make me feel so special. And I care about you. Oh, God, it's so wonderful. I got great things to do for you in 2018. Oh, I can't wait to 2018. He said, woo, it's going to be a great year. And God said, yeah, but go get right first. Before you go clicking your heels talking about this great year you're going to have. Go back and get right with who you did wrong. Amen. Oh, we're just going to have a wonderful year in 2018. Not if you keep that mess that you did in 2017. You better get it right first. You ain't no puff of blue smoke when December 31st turns midnight and you go to January 1. I turned over a new leaf. Yeah, but it can flip on back to the other side. Absolute faith for Hagar. Amen. But there also had to be some adequate forgiveness for Sarai. She had to submit. Here comes Hagar. I'm back. It doesn't work if Sarah doesn't say, we'll be glad to receive you. Amen. Now, you may not be Hagar. You may be Sarai. Your problem may not be faith. Your problem may be forgiveness. Huh? You may have somebody come back to you and say, I just want you to know I'm sorry. I don't care if you are sorry. You crossed the wrong line. Wait a minute now. God's trying to do something in the rest of the book of Genesis. And Sarai's going to have to execute forgiveness so God can keep doing what he wants to do. Adequate forgiveness and then, of course, abundant fruit. The Bible says at the end of this passage of Scripture, Hagar bare Abram a son. Abram called his son's name, which bare Hagar bare Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Well, he took a wrong turn, didn't he? But aren't you glad that the book of Genesis doesn't end with chapter 16? Hallelujah. Amen. And if you think it got good in 16, wait till you get to 17. God's going to introduce Abram to a name he hadn't heard yet. Amen. And I guarantee you, Genesis 17:1, and El Shaddai does not show up if Abram doesn't get right in Genesis 16:16. Now I'm asking you today, what in the world is God trying to reveal to you about himself that your lack of faith and your lack of forgiveness is stopping. Everybody makes wrong turns. Well, we're getting to the end of the year. Sunday be the last day of the year, last Sunday of the year, last service of the year, last altar call of the year. Amen. Why are you saying that? Some of you ought to plan on going. Amen. Last altar call of the year. Amen. Don't just get your money in for 2017. Get your confession in. Amen. But you know, we look back at times like this and go, man, I wish I hadn't turned there. I hadn't done that. It's too late to go back and fix it. You already turned. But what you can do is let God find you where you are and send you back to where you belong. Amen. I mean, Hagar's going to get, the Bible doesn't tell us about sorry, I forgive you, give me a hug, let's just join hands and kumbaya. Bible doesn't tell, but we read enough in assumption for the rest of Genesis to know somebody had to say something to get right for this plan to keep on going. And sometimes the things that are not blatantly stated in Scripture, but are clearly understood, are the things we need to pay attention to. And sometimes the hardest thing for children of God to do is to say sorry and submit. But how can God take you and your children where he wants to take you when your pride is standing in the way? May God help us. And most of all, may we learn from this passage of Scripture, avoid unnecessary detours. And beware them too. Our Father, we thank you so much for the precious word of God. How many times have we drifted, gone the wrong way? It's nobody's fault but ours. We just got impatient. And didn't understand why you took so long. And frustrated. And then we come coming up with schemes. And we end up in a place we never should have been. Help us, Lord, that if we end up there, to appreciate your loving kindness and compassion, not as an excuse of our sin, but to draw us back to where we belong. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.